Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Happy Wednesday, and it's time for the Dakota Political Junkies. Today we have Roger Whittle, Managing Editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, with us. Roger, welcome back.
Thanks, Lori.
And also with us, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John, thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
All right. Where do you want to begin? What is sort of keeping you up at night about the 2018 legislative session? Roger Whittle, let's start with you. What are some of the highlights of the week?
It's been a pretty interesting week. We've got legislative pay raises we could talk about. We've got abortion restrictions, drug testing, drinking age. We've got a lot of it. Why don't you pick something?
All right, let's start with those legislative pay raises, because we just heard on SDPB News a piece from Lee Strubinger kind of teeing that up nicely. Lawmakers have a plan. John, you want to lay out for us what they're thinking and what some of the challenges could be?
Well, it's been a number of years since legislators raised their own pay. That's the method by which it goes. There's no outside agency or anything that would set pay. So they're put in a challenging political situation of essentially deciding on their own compensation. Hasn't been raised for a long time. They believe, at least some legislators believe, that the pay rate as it is discourages some candidates from participating, essentially saying that it doesn't pay enough to attract people who would be foregoing income otherwise, and so they're trying to advance this, and then really trying to put on some sort of escalator so that they wouldn't have to do this again, that they would go up or down based on median household income in South Dakota. So, that's it. Also, at least a bit of a proxy on people how they perceive legislators doing their job. If they think they're doing a terrific job, and they would probably not receive any criticism for it. The opposite would be also apply.
All right, John. So the word optics is overused, but what's the optics of this? Right now with the state, state employees not getting a raise for 2 years. What does this look like?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's not a budget buster in either case, but you're right. It is in the environment of no pay raises for state employees, or at least proposed, funding for K-12 education, really the two biggest items in the appropriation. Nevertheless, when kind of is there a good time? There's never kind of money flowing everywhere. There's always tough budget decisions to be made and so on. So I'd say almost never is the time. It might be for people who are termed out. They can say, look, this doesn't benefit me. I'm thinking about future legislators and candidates for legislature. They, I think, have a little bit more credibility than if it's being proposed by a freshman legislator.
Right. Roger, would it make a difference to, change the pay structure somewhat? Would we get, more diverse background for our lawmakers if they were paid a little bit more?
Well, I don't think it would hurt. It is a challenge to be a lawmaker in South Dakota. I was speaking with a former lawmaker here from Watertown, Reed Holeen, who once actually kept track of all the hours he put into the legislative job, and I think he said it came up something like 20 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. He was making representing Cuddington County in the legislature. So I think $6,000 is what they make now, which is not a lot of money considering the amount of time that these guys have to put in, and they're not really asking for that much more. I think the raise would give them, if this bill passed, would give them $10,200 a session. Mm. So like John said, it's not really a budget breaker, but that, of course, is in addition to, I think they get like $140 per diem for expenses.
Sure.
But it certainly wouldn't hurt in encouraging some other people to run. It's still not going to, you're not going to get rich being a lawmaker in South Dakota. Mm. And it's always been that way. I mean, when we first became a state, we paid our lawmakers $5 a day. So,
wow. So, John, what about this notion of, if this bill passes, coming on the heels of IM-22 last year and, folks trying to sort of undo or redo or look at Marcy's Law and the constitutional amendment, and just, you know, some of the way people feel in South Dakota about their lawmakers right now, this could be a bill that gets referred to the people.
Yes, and you're right. Following those repeals, there probably are some additional people who don't believe legislators deserve much of anything. So I think you'll have, you know, people who say, look, I'm grateful someone's going out there and doing this. Other people who say, I never like them and I never, they shouldn't get paid anything. And then some kind of in the middle. And in a lot of cases in South Dakota, the middle 80% might determine most of those issues. And would those things, I don't know, if it starts to get farther away, you know, you would have a referral that might come up next November. I don't know if how people would react to that.
Yeah, and there might be people who say, okay, now that encourages me to run too, which would be the idea.
Right.
That
right.
Would,
yeah, we'd love to have, you know, there are seats that go unchallenged every election, and some districts even have to kind of recruit someone to do that. So it won't get everyone. I mean, there are some people, regardless of how much the money would be, just can't. You know, if you're a school teacher, you can't take January and February off, right?
Right.
You're supposed to be teaching then. So it won't take it to 100%, but it would, as Roger indicated, I think it would add to the pool.
Yeah. Let's move on to this idea of lawmakers taking random drug tests, which seems like a random sort of thing to come up during the legislative session, but maybe not. Roger, what about this notion of asking our lawmakers to be drug-free and to prove it?
Well, this came from Representative Tim Gordon, a Republican from Rapid City, who is doing this because the legislature is involved in a deal now to raise prison sentences for meth dealers, which was part of Marty Jackley's plan. And he just believes that if we're here sitting in peer sending people to prison for long periods of time, then we should prove that we ourselves are clean.
John, I think it's Tim Goodwin from...
Tim Goodwin, yeah.
I think so, from Custer area, I think. I might have to confirm that. But, John, thoughts on this? Is this a no-brainer, easy thing they're all going to pass, or is there more to the story here?
Yeah, I think it's kind of logical. I never thought about it before. But, as you know, as you think about it, here are people making laws which matter. And if we decide that drugs... kind of as a society impairs your judgment, then we should be free of those impairments. So yeah, I think it, and you know, there's, it didn't seem the restrictions that he put on would be, it's not like baseball players where they get tested every 5 minutes to see if you're on steroids or something. So it seems perfectly reasonable and kind of a why not attitude, I think.
Right. I'm wondering, John, though, about, once again, you know, the dialogue surrounding it, which is the implication, and he's quoted here in Dana Ferguson's piece in the Argus Leader as saying, I'm told not everyone can pass it. So in some ways, it's also a way to say, wink, wink, something's going on with some of these guys, right?
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that, too. And I think whether the quote was exact or not, if you say I'm told, indicates that the sponsor does not know for sure and that it's kind of secondhand and so forth. So I think you have to back off a little bit from the implication is, yes, they're being done. So,
and that is the quote. And I've been told we can't all pass it. So
right.
To be accurate, quoted him. Yeah.
In Roger and I recognize that when you're in journalism, you take it one step farther than that. You can't kind of go with just, I heard someone else say something. So I'm not aware of it, but I don't think I would be, even if I were around peer all the time. I don't think I would know anyway.
Roger, you mentioned further restrictions on abortions in this state. Give us an update on some proposed legislation there, please.
Well, what's going on is a while ago the legislature passed a law that said abortion providers have to provide a lot of counseling to women seeking abortions, and they're not happy with the way that that law is being carried out. I just read the law this morning, or the bill this morning. It's kind of interesting where part of the state law says that women have to be told that studies have shown that women who have had abortions have a higher rate of suicide or thoughts of suicide. And the law required an abortion provider to tell that to the woman. And apparently this is the statement that the abortion providers are telling the women. It's, quote, "Politicians in the state of South Dakota require us to tell you that some studies have found that women who have had abortions have a higher rate of suicide or thoughts of suicide than other women. We dispute this statement because it does not mean that abortion causes suicide or thoughts of suicide. In fact, no research has ever established that abortion causes suicide or suicide thoughts." So while they're actually complying with the letter of the law, they're not really complying with the spirit of the law. And this bill is going to attempt to change the way that these pre-abortion counseling sessions happen.
John, it's an 8-page bill.
Yeah, I add no value to this conversation here. It's an emotionally charged issue that gets to much bigger issues and very passionate people on both sides of this
right.
issue. So I don't know.
If you're listening, you've made up your mind of what you think about this conversation already.
Yeah,
so.
I think most of the legislation kind of is in the middle and trying to do some sort of detail to push the pendulum a little bit farther to one side, but it's a very challenging, a emotionally charged issue that
right.
people have very strong feelings about.
It's Senate Bill 110. So if you're listening and you feel strongly about it, you know what to do. Reach out to your lawmakers, right? Roger, what's next? Let's talk about scholarships for homeschooled students. That's another interesting one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a really interesting bill. The South Dakota Opportunity Scholarships, one of the requirements is an ACT score of 24 or higher. But if you're homeschooled students, you had to have an ACT score of 28 or higher, which some people have said is unfair. So what they want to do is make the same 24 level apply to homeschoolers and public schoolers. On the surface, seems like a good idea. The reason they're saying that that law was put into effect to begin with is that there are other standards of measuring that they apply to public schools, such as they can't get any grade lower than a C or
right. yeah.
things like that. And those kind of things they couldn't really apply to homeschool students. So they just made the ACT a little bit more challenging for them. From what I read, there would have been last year two homeschool students in the state that would have qualified for the scholarship under the law as they want it changed that would not have under the current law.
Interesting. What does the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship give them? What's at stake?
I believe it's like $1,200 a year for the first 3 years and then $2,600. Don't quote me on those numbers.
I'm a junior in high school. I should know this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and look that one up again.
Yeah, I think it's $1,300 each of the three and $2,600, I think, for the fourth.
Okay.
All right.
I was close.
So Roger was extremely close.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm so far away from education days that I'm impressed with how close I was.
John, your thoughts on this is, really have part of a bigger conversation about school choice?
Well, first, my first thought came to me is if I was homeschooled, my mom never would have given me the good grades that I got in regular school. She would have given me D's and F's for almost everything. So, but...
Well, what was your ACT score?
is this program being heard by others?
It was different. You can't measure back then and now because all the numbers have changed.
Yeah, we were using Roman numerals.
Right,
then.
Yeah.
homeschooling is continuing to evolve. And, I think when the legislation was first passed that homeschooling was, I think, less prevalent. I think it's more common today. And so the idea is, for some people, especially in the regions, have indicated that it's really a motivation to perform well in public school. I mean, that was kind of the part of the deal, and later mm-hmm. expanded to all schools, public or private. And so how this plays in some senses, I agree that it does seem like it's two standards that we're saying, look, you got to be smart to get this, but if you're homeschooled, you got to be really smart. I mean, there's it does seem a little discriminatory, and so, but I, you know, it does make sense that if you don't have if you don't have to qualify on other qualifications, then maybe more weight should be put on this particular one.
Yeah, we mentioned the drinking age at the beginning of the segment, so let's dive into that, because looking at dropping the drinking age for active duty military members, we've heard this. I don't know if we've heard this one in the State House, but certainly we've heard this conversation before. Roger, give us an overview.
Yeah, this is Representative Goodwin again from Rapp City Custer area out there. He just believes that if an 18-year-old is going to join the military and willing to risk his life for the country, he should be able to have a beer, you know. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. Not really anything very controversial here, but it seems like a good idea to me.
I
think it should be lowered to 18 for everybody, by the way.
Again, once a part of a bigger cultural conversation that we're having. I think they've changed it in some places where even on base you can't be 18. If it's state law, that's what I heard, but I haven't confirmed that. So it used to be if you were in the military, you couldn't drink in town. Don't ask me how I know. But if you stayed on base at the enlisted club, you could have a drink. And now they're looking at reevaluating that. So
yeah, this just says if you have a military ID that says you're 18, they will treat you like you're 21.
Yeah, in the state of South Dakota. So that's National
right.
Guard and active members. Huh.
Right.
Interesting thoughts. Government shutdown, did that really impact anybody in South Dakota? John Hunter, have you heard of
Well,
know?
I wrote about it a day or two ago, and it's very limited, at least in Madison. We don't have a huge federal presence, mostly Department of Agriculture with farm services and so on, conservation. As you know, it only affected what they would deem non-essential services, so it takes out National Defense, and the post office is really not a kind of a direct agency that would be affected by this, so that didn't close. So really a day or two is manageable, you know, if it would have extended, or if it gets, you know, remember this current resolution only takes us to February 8th, that if it happens again, it could affect some farming
sure.
people in South Dakota, but by and large, I think it did not affect South Dakota very much.
So my father used to work for the VA Medical Center in Sioux Falls, and during a previous government shutdown, they sent him home as a non-essential personnel. He worked in the plumbing and engineering shop. And then as soon as they had a sewage problem, they called him back in. And I won't repeat what he said about the moments when he was essential and the moments he wasn't, but government employees have good senses of humor. Well,
that's funny.
John Hunter is publisher of Madison Daily Leader. John, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Lori.
Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure.